I am available now.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's get started. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we'll figure something out.
Oh, I have ideas.
Oh, awesome. All right. Good. Then surprise me.
Okay.
Let's see where we're at. Hold on.
There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is really unique.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the unique geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek series of podcast Pomoing. I'm your host, John, and joining me tonight is Mr. Aaron Poole from across the big pool. How you doing, Aaron?
I am good, sir. How are you?
I am excellent. Now, he promises me he has something to talk about, so I'm just going to throw it over to Aaron. Aaron, what you got to talk about? Pressure's on you.
Well, first of all, I would like to say I've been watching your video cast from your car. the one particularly painful one where you spent about 5 minutes waiting to turn the camera off as well.
You actually watched the entirety of that?
I did, because I kept... It was almost like a weird kind of horror film where you're expecting any... You're wondering, like, is it going to happen now? Is it? Oh, shit, no, where is he? What's going to happen? So it was tense. I was on the edge of my desk.
Look, if paranormal can get away with not doing anything for 2 hours before they just move a chair, then, you know.
Yes, although paranormal activity is fantastic if you somehow just put static at the end of it and screamed just before to make it like some sort of car crash had happened.
Shh. No. Don't give away secrets.
Damn, sorry. Spoilers. But yes, that was... So I have to tip my hat to you, sir, for doing this even when you can tell you don't want to do this anymore.
Yes, day 8, I'm already tired.
Yes.
Actually, that was like day... would that be day 7? Yeah, that would be today. But I think that was today. No, that was yesterday. Day 7, yes. This one is actually day 9, which will go out tomorrow. It's just all sorts of confusing. Anyway, so what do you have,
yes,
what do you have to talk about?
Well, I
besides
wanted to bring up something
insulting
that,
me. I'm insulted now.
I suppose... But...
Go on.
Sad. I wanted to talk about something that I suppose we'll never get a chance to talk about on Weekend Justice, because it's sports.
This is really basically the Weekend Justice pre-show, is what this is.
Yeah, this is the first time we'll ever get to scoop them, too, which would be interesting.
All right, so you have sports, which, of course, falls right into the wheelhouse of the Unique Geek. Actually, we do talk sports a lot, too. But anyway, go on.
But we have a certain sporting thing in common, is that in that both our favorite sporting teams are owned by the same people.
Oh, yes.
The Glazers own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
who lost horribly this past week.
Yes, who've lost horribly a few times this season.
Yes.
and they own also Manchester United, who have only lost horribly once this season, which is not bad. We did lose one at a time, but it wasn't horribly. So it was respectfully. But yeah.
Now, what was the score in that horrible loss? 2-0.
We lost 6-1.
Oh, actually, that is a lot. That is a lot of scoring, yeah, for soccer. I mean, football.
Football. Yes. Well, the one that uses its feet, we should call football for now.
We do kick it on occasion.
Yeah, but like you have one guy who comes out, kicks it, and walks off again. I mean, I do watch American football. I am a fan of the sport. I do enjoy watching it, but sometimes it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, to have one guy who gets paid to walk on, kick the ball once, and walk off again, and doesn't even have to like get tackled or anything. He just stands there and kicks it. I don't know why more soccer players don't go over there and just do that for a few years towards the end of retirement, because that would be a piece walk in the park. Like,
well, remember that each football team typically only carries one kicker, maybe also a punter, usually a kicker and a punter. So there's only 60 jobs then. So it's not like every soccer player. Although I wonder if Beckham could kick a football.
Yes.
Being as I'm American, that's the only name I know.
well, one of Ireland's best players is currently plying his trade in America now. Robbie Keane went to LA Galaxy as well a couple of months back.
Well, there was that kid that was like 16 and playing in professional soccer, wasn't it? What was his name? At least over here, and he was playing in MLS.
Where was he from?
I think he was playing in Washington. But he's from U.S. Sorry. He is from the U.S.
Yeah.
Because we produce better athletes than you guys do. anyway. Football. Back to football.
Well, no, we could talk about how athletic American football is, if you like, in comparison to rugby, which is pretty much the same sport, but without the helmets.
I would argue that the toughest sport, although still not American technically, even rougher than rugby, would be ice hockey. Given that, A, you are constantly moving, and I don't know if you've ever tried to skate versus run. Skating versus running is, for me at least, and I run. Well, I guess that's probably why. Is a heck of a lot harder. Plus, you've got these guys. Okay, so you've got the hitting of rugby, if you will, with guys that are carrying sticks and or carrying, getting up a lot of speed on their skates, slamming into you. And then, on top of that, they are padded as well. And you've got this puck flying around at, 100 miles per hour, whizzing past your head all the time. So,
And that's one thing that might stop me from ever watching hockey on TV, is because I could never see where the fucking puck was.
Well, Fox tried to fix that a couple of years back when they had the NHL on Fox, where they made the puck glow.
I remember, funnily enough, when the first time they ever tested that out, because they must have tested it for an exhibition game or something like that, did they?
I think they may have, yeah.
Because they showed that on my side of the water, and they never really show ice hockey, but for some reason it was a special event that they were testing this new, glow in the TV puck. Mm-hmm. And I found it much easier to watch. I have to say that was something that was a plus for me. I guess for normal hockey fans, they know where it's going, so they don't have that problem. But isn't that technically a Canadian sport anyway, though?
Right, and that's where I was getting at. I said, it's not really an American sport. Yes, technically it's Canadian. We can't even really claim baseball, for crying out loud. So.
Well, I do love that you do call baseball the World Series, which is hilarious. Because, because it's huge in Japan. So I think to lay legitimacy to that claim, I think they should allow the Japanese clubs to play you.
I would have no problem with that. I still think that we would win. However, they do Little League World Series actually does do an actual World Series where all the various countries are allowed to enter. And I think... I am probably mistaken. I think that China won this year, but I am probably mistaken. Hold on, I will look it up.
Isn't it very popular south of the border as well, though? Cuba and stuff like that?
Dude, all of our best players are from either Cuba or the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, which technically is a U.S. protectorate, but or is it a territory? I forget. Anyway. Most of our really, I won't say most of them, but a lot of our really good players, especially from the past, have been from Latin American countries mostly.
Do the countries not play each other in any competition at all? Is there no kind of, big world competition in baseball?
There is a Summer Olympics, I thought. They've started doing them at the Summer Olympics.
Okay. But it's no baseball organized. I just feel like the Olympics are, is its own thing.
Yeah, and the thing is that normal guys, our major league guys don't play in it. It's all college players. Unlike the basketball, where actually they have nothing better to do right now, the basketball players we do actually send over professionals to play.
Yeah, but I mean, that is because some of the other countries are getting good at basketball. That is one of those sports that is actually starting to become competitive a little bit, I feel. But, you know, you're still going to hockey us every time. And actually, I don't know if that's a term that you guys use. if you want to say, like, you were going to get beaten really badly by a team, we would say you were going to get hockeyed by us.
Which is weird, again, because...
I started out, but...
Again, going back, because hockey was the sport I was putting up as being tougher than rugby, being one that you get beat up in a lot. Actually, are there many fist fights that break out in rugby?
Yes, but not too often. I feel like the tackles are rough enough that most of the time people get their frustrations out without having to go to fists. But there are the odd fisticuffs, they say. I remember there was after one fight in the match, they asked the Irish captain, Brian O'Driscoll, afterwards, you know, like, what did you think about the big fight that broke out? And he was just like, ah, sure, you'll have a bit of that. which I think is kind of how rugby kind of treats it. I mean, look, it's funny. It was like one of the roughest sports I've ever seen is an Irish-only sport. Because, I mean, you guys aren't the only ones who keep a sport to yourselves every now and again. Ireland have two sports that are just pretty much Ireland-only. One is Gaelic football, which is like this weird cross between basketball and soccer. It's mad. And then the other one is hurling, which is like hockey but on grass and with 15 guys.
Yeah.
And you can the ball is actually it's officially the fastest field sport in the world because the ball can go from one end of the field to the other in like I think point like it's like 2 seconds or something like that. But yeah, something ridiculous they've clocked it. But yeah, I mean like they're basically just picking up a ball, like hitting it as hard as they can with their slitter, which is like a hurl. It's just a big stick, essentially a flat stick, and they're just beating lumps out of each other. And they don't wear pads or they don't wear helmets. They can wear helmets if they feel like it, but most of them don't. And what I find amazing is the guys who play in goal, who have this thing like you know going 100 miles an hour at their face. There's like no fear. There's like no protective mask or anything. You just put their hand up and grab the ball. It's kind of insane. But yeah, only we play it.
Well, you also have a third sport that you keep all to yourself. It's the drinking world champions, isn't it? Championships.
I do feel like the Germans can give us a run for our money on that one, though.
Right. Well, that's why you don't open it up for the world competition.
we're trying to keep the title.
You don't want to lose the title. For the record, because I know everyone is just waiting to hear. 2011 was won by Huntington Beach, California. They're playing Hamasatsu City, Japan. And apparently in 1976, in the Little League World Series, that's what I'm talking about, by the way, Little League World Series, they split the brackets up into two, basically one for the United States and then the rest for everyone, the other bracket for everyone else. And at the end, a U.S. city plays... whoever won the international team side.
God, well, that's fair.
We are a bunch of bastards. but here's the irony of that. Currently the record is 23-13 international leading the series.
Wow.
Yeah, so it hasn't been all, you know.
And what country has won it the most? Does it give you that fact?
Which country has won the most? Taiwan/Chinese Taipei, yes.
Wow.
They've won 17. The next closest is, well, actually, heck, 17 outnumbers the number of championships the United States has won total, which would be 13. But the next closest, if you're breaking it down by slash country state, is Japan with 7. So they've won 7. Taiwan's won 17 of them. And then it breaks down...
It's interesting though because there's not many Asian players in the American NFL league or not NFL and what's the
MLB
American
Major League Baseball
yeah
MLB
Major League Baseball yeah.
Now there have been recently like I can't remember the names, but there have been a recent flood of a couple of Japanese players, And I know they play, one of them plays for Seattle, one plays for the Yankees. I'm trying to remember what their names are. There's a pitcher not too long ago that was supposed to be the best thing to come out of Japan, and he kind of lit it up for, God, I wish I could remember their names, for about a season, maybe two, and then kind of fell apart. I don't know. I guess, you know, when you come to America, you get to enjoy all of our excess. Although you would imagine that Japan has plenty of their own excess.
Before, actually, just I remembered, before we got off on this tangent about all the different world sports, I brought up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a reason.
Okay.
The English international game, the NFL plays one game in England for during the regular season for the last, I think, 4 years.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, the Tampa Bay Bucs have been one of the teams to play over here, and I think it's been their home game each time, has it?
It has, but I do need to correct you. I believe it was this last one, and not the previous one, but the one previous to that. So it's
twice. Okay. I knew it was recently, though.
Twice in 3 years, yes. But yes, okay. It was a home game, which is a blessing for us that are fans, because the home games have stopped selling out. Tampa, the Tampa area in the United States, has the 8th worst economy for a city, as far as unemployment is concerned. Not as far as money, but as far as employment is concerned. Yeah. So a lot of people stopped, because they had this ridiculous thing here at the stadium where you had to buy a license for 10 years to have a seat.
What?
And then you had to pay you had to pay like a $10,000 license fee. Then you had to buy season tickets every year. Otherwise, they would give your seat away.
So you couldn't just buy like a one season ticket. You had to buy a 10 season ticket.
Essentially, what you would do. Okay, so imagine this. This is how this works. They license you these two seats. You pay $10,000 just for the right to be able to buy tickets for those seats. That was their whole thing. So you pay $10,000 or whatever it was. And then on top of that, you've got to pay $75 a game to go, which, and you've got to buy the preseason. So you've got to pay $750 a seat each year to sit there.
Who actually bought this?
Well, there were a lot back when we were winning all the time. Although we haven't really, I mean, last year we were, well, the Bucks, not me, because I wasn't actually playing for them.
Yeah. But the team was shot on quite a bit, if I remember
right. The team last year, though, was one game out of going into the playoffs. I mean, it was actually a half game, I believe. It came down to just basically statistics that decide who won the division last year. So they weren't too bad, but this year they're off and on with their performance, as it were.
Now, because I'm still getting used to the NFL, because I'm a recent convert, let's say. And, like, how much influence do the owners actually have? I mean, is there a big difference that they can make as far as, you know, would it make things better if they shove the whole lot of money into the team right now?
Well, they are the youngest team in the NFL by average age, and they did not. They have a lot of money on their cap, and I'm not sure if you know how that works. But basically, you can spend up to X amount of dollars in the NFL for players. That's to kind of keep it even and keep, you know, teams like New York and Green Bay. Well, Green Bay's a whole different beast because it's owned by the actual community. The team is actually owned by the community.
Seems to be working out for them.
It does, doesn't it? but like to keep teams like the New York from just going out and spending billions of dollars and basically buying themselves championships every year. So you can spend, but we are way under our they are way. I gotta stop doing that because I don't play for them. They're way under their.
You
cap.
consider yourself part of the community. Well, of the Tampa Bucks.
Given the fact that my tax dollars funded their stadium, yes.
Yeah.
So that's a kicker. So why it's important that the Europe game was a home game, was that because you don't they don't sell out here, we don't get to see them whenever they play locally. They're not on television. So you either have to go down to the stadium to watch them or find some other nefarious means to acquire it legally.
Oh, so did they show up because they were foreign then, did they?
Yes, they showed it because there's no way that anybody could go, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's something. But so but
Glazers are not liked over there, are they?
No, they're hated. Absolutely hated. In fact, it was a campaign last season to get rid of them by the United fans because they basically they took out a lot of debt to buy United. And so therefore use the funds that United were bringing in to pay off that debt rather than reinvest in the team.
Uh-huh.
And so therefore, like, we were basically paying the Glazers loan and probably a lot of money that, you know, they might have owed for the Bucks as well. But yeah, so basically United's team was kind of getting shafted in terms of, you know, the transfer funds that we had because we don't have a cap. We, you know, we just go on how much money our owners give us. And if they give you a lot, you can spend a lot. And they were giving us nothing. And we had sold one player for 90 million euros. And we saw little or nothing of that back in the team. They just sold him and took the money and paid off their debts.
Oh, what do? They like buy rights to the players? Is that how that works, or how does?
You contract the player to play for your club, and if a player is still in contract, you kind of want to buy the contract off the team, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So they paid Real Madrid, a Spanish team, paid 90 million euros to buy Ronaldo out of his contract.
Oh, Ronaldo!
So
that
he can move to their team. Cristiano Ronaldo, yeah. That Portuguese fucktard. But anyway, I'm not bitter. But the anger towards the Glazers has started to calm down because their debt is almost paid off. So they're starting to invest a little bit now. But they're incredibly smart businessmen. I mean, they know what they're doing on the business side of things. As far as running clubs, probably the best guys to ask for. They're not particularly great at that, but they know how to make themselves money. So fair play to them. But the popularity of this international contest, I was wondering, because they're talking about, and they're talking very seriously about either adding more games to be played on this side of the water, or adding a British team, a British franchise. And they say actually it could even be an Irish one too, because they think they're deciding on either London or Dublin.
You know, the thing that would stop that is just logistics, right? I'm pretty sure it was not a big story over there, but there was some debate over whether the Bucks did the right thing or the Bears did the right thing. The Bears showed up the day before and just went out and played.
Yes.
Of course, as it turns out,
there was talk about that at the game, actually. Yeah,
yeah, and then the Bucks showed up a week in advance and got there. Now, the problem, of course, is that if, let's say, the Irish Mad Men had to play the San Francisco 49ers, to get over to San Francisco, that is a lot of flying. And that is a huge disadvantage.
I think that's about 12 to 13 hours flight.
Well,
yeah.
You got to figure it's eight hours to get to New York, right? About seven,
yeah.
maybe seven. And then from New York to California, yeah, you're looking at least 4 hours. So yeah, you're looking around 12, 13 hours, depending on layover and everything, of course. So, I mean, that would be the one thing that would probably put a kibosh on it. I know that – how did you guys receive the the European Football League over there? What do they call it? The NFL,
I think it was NFL Europe. I think it was called. Yeah.
Is it still around?
It got shut down a couple of years back, and actually, a lot of the players from that league do play for NFL teams now.
Right.
So there must have been some sort of decent quality to it that they were, you know, those guys were considered good enough for the NFL.
They were all second or third stringer guys. I mean, they weren't. It wasn't like they were. There's just a limited number of jobs, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, see,
the thing is that there wasn't a hell of a lot of money in it. So the stadiums they were playing in were very small. And I think it was at a time then when maybe the television wasn't as accessible as it is now with the amount of channels and stuff that people have seen. Because I know a lot of people watch NFL now because it's so much easier to catch the games. Mm-hmm. Whereas back then, you know, you really would have had to, you know, maybe have paid a lot for a satellite subscription to get one of these, like, European NFL games. So I think that's kind of, it's almost, I feel like, the long-term plan with this whole bringing a franchise either to Europe or playing more games over here is to try and gauge the reaction from the public and see if they can build momentum to maybe start another league here. I think it would make, you know, it would make more sense, like you said, logistically, if they could have a couple of teams here as a division, like a European division, mm-hmm. and just have them play in playoffs.
Yeah, maybe do it like the Little League World Series does. You know what I mean? You have all those teams play, and then you play the whatever American team is as one.
Yeah, well, at the very least, I know it would be slightly unfair, but at the very least, it would be some sort of interest. I think it would be interesting if nothing else. But yeah, no, I'm kind of fascinated to see what happens with it because, like you said, the logistics of going back and forth are crazy, but it seems to be something that they're talking about.
You would almost have to do a thing. You'd almost have to do a thing. But see, then where would you put your practice facility, right? I was just thinking you have to do a thing where you say, okay, if the Irish Redheads are going to play the San Francisco 49ers, they're also going to play, they're going to stay, and next week they're going to play Seattle, and they're going to play somebody else, right, that are over there. That way, they don't have to travel back. But the thing is, though, is that you have to practice in between. You have to game plan and everything else. And if you don't have a location where you can do that, then I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it would probably almost make sense to have maybe like a New York team, or at least have them based in New York and like just have a ground here that they go back and forth from. Because like I said, if the furthest east you can get, so the flight is less, maybe like a 7-hour flight, send them over the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, because like you were talking about whether you should come over a week before the game or the day before. I know Chicago won and they came over the day before, but statistically, all the teams that came over the earliest had won before that. The last few years that the international games beyond, the team who came over the earliest in the week actually won. So I don't know. I think it's a bit of a potluck. I mean, I'd be fascinated to see.
It could also be that the Bucks suck. But anyway.
Well, I didn't want to go down that road. But, you know.
The Bears are that much better. The Bears are actually, they won again yesterday. So anyway. We do have to wrap this up because we have Weekend Justice taping now at this point. Yes. People are starting to knock on my door. So
Come on, knock on my door.
All right. Aaron, where can people find you?
AaronFever.blogspot.com, or you can find me on Twitter at AaronFever. That's AAron. That's how you spell my name, in case you're an idiot.
And Fever is spelled just like Johnny.
Yes.
And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. You can either follow at theuniquegeek.com, or John Boutel, and you can figure out how to spell it on your own. Until tomorrow, really, what is it going to boil down to? I think I might have to do another record in my car episode tomorrow on the way to work. So those are always fun. We'll see if I die in this accident, or a accident, something. Anyway, until tomorrow, peace. That is the wrong sound file. It's this one I want to play.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.
Finish up, woman! Oh, okay. She's done.
Share alike!